Welcome to the WBFO Press Pass. I'm Mark Scott, joined by Buffalo Spree editor Elizabeth Licata.
Hi, Mark.
Glad to have you with us once again.
I'm always glad to be here.
The July issue features this year's Best of Western New York. Is this the most labor-intensive project you do over the course of any given year?
I think it is, because we have to first of all decide what the categories are going to be before the March issue. So I've got to decide that back in, say, January, what the categories, and then we put that in the magazine, and then we have to convene panels to discuss the categories, since it's a combination process of our readers' poll, which has grown over the years. At first, we didn't get as much participation as we would have liked in our readers' poll, and so it was really necessary to have panels of experts, because city regional magazines are considered to be tastemakers, and we want the recommendations that we give our readers to be as accurate as possible, to truly reflect what, as far as we can determine through asking people who go out and eat at all the restaurants, go to all the theater productions and so on, we ask these people, what do you think was the best? And then we also gather in our reader response, and through kind of combining them, we come up with an answer.
Now, the reason why I asked, is it labor intensive, is because your writers prepare a paragraph or two for each award winner, and you're not just faking it there. You do a lot of research to find out what these award winners are all about.
We have to, because we can't expect the readers to just take our word with a list. We've got to convince them. We have to persuade them. We have to give them sort of a verbal image of what makes this thing so great.
Do the categories change from year to
year? Oh, yes. We try to change them every year. Some categories are left in that I think, oh, why did we keep this in? For example, we did a none of the above for a common council member, and I thought, well, that was stupid. We ought not to have had a common council member category if we weren't going to pick one. So we try to change it up. Yes, we change them every year. It gets kind of boring to have the same thing every year, particularly when certain categories, I won't name what they are, they have obvious winners. And you might be picking the same person, the same business every single year, and it gets kind of tedious, and we need to make the list interesting.
Now, some of the categories are pretty funny, such as the best place to hear comedy, and the winner was the Hamburg School Board.
Well, that was an alt pick. We also had helium. I think the Hamburg School Board is funnier than the Buffalo School Board. We, in the past, City Hall has won that as well. And you know, Mark, when you read the paper, the antics of the Hamburg School Board have been pretty bizarre.
Now, there's a category for best local scandal, which yes, perhaps the Hamburg School Board could fit that as well. But the
sure
winner in this case was Gypsy Parlor, and I have to say, I totally missed this one.
This is only if this was mainly played out on Facebook and on a blog. The Gypsy Parlor winners, who are very anxious to receive their plaque, by the way, they're very proud of this award. And I think you should know that.
This is a bar?
Yes, okay. It's a lovely little place on Grant Street. Okay. They have live music, they have food, and they have little promotions like bars do to bring patrons in. So, you know, the weekend of Thanksgiving is a big bar night. So all the bars, I guess, are fighting for, you know, patrons. And so two of the women who work there got dressed up in provocative, low-cut Native American outfits, calling themselves Pocahontas.
Okay.
And you asked.
Yeah.
And a blogger who's, I believe, a grad student who may also have some Native American heritage saw this and wrote a blog post saying that it was offensive. And so then a lot of the Gypsy Parlor workers jumped into her comments, but a lot of it spilled out onto Facebook. And that's how the rest of us got to listen in on this whole thing. And it just went on. And some of the comments were hilarious. And it kind of got beyond the whole political correctness or whether or not it was offensive. It pushed the whole envelope of that and went clearly out into absurdity, where you could laugh at it.
Now, speaking of Facebook, you have a category of best Facebooker.
Yes.
And I have to admit, I'm left wondering, how do you even select someone for this category, given the vastness of Facebook?
Right, because everyone follows different people. It's not really like Twitter, where certain people seem to be followed by everyone. I mean, I guess that's true about Facebook, too. But so we, through most of our panelists, are they know the arts, and they go to art galleries, they patronize theaters, they tend to move in sort of a cultural arena, and so the Facebookers that we pick tend to be from that arena. They are intellectual. Do you follow, say, someone like Bob Pohl?
I
writes for the news.
Yeah. I'm not.
Jeff Simon has a good Facebook feed.
Yeah.
But we like to choose individuals who really have idiosyncratic posts. And John Massey, our winner, is one of those people. So, yeah, with Facebook, I don't think the popularity has to do with how many followers you have. I probably have more followers than most of our winners, and I don't think my Facebook posts are worthy of any kind of award. So it's not how many people follow you, but how much work you put into your posts.
I would give you an award for the best pictures of gardens. You really excel at that.
Yeah, I try to keep my pictures kind of inoffensive, and they don't take too much thought.
But actually, I use Facebook really for friends, or people at least that I know. Twitter, I'll follow people I don't know. That's why I don't follow many people on Facebook. I have to know you.
Yeah. It's the Facebook award is not one that you could pick through a poll.
Yeah.
It's one that we allow a few individuals who really follow interesting people to choose.
I'm sure you get responses from readers. Are they sometimes heated,
emotional? Yes, yes, they can be. I got one that I was really quite shocked at. I did not respond to it. I usually respond to any kind of complaint that I get, but in this case, the language was such that I felt that it was just not right to respond to anyone who would write to someone using those terms.
Yeah.
And I was a little surprised, but they objected to our burger award and felt that a chain ought to have won it. And of course, we would never pick a chain. We're local. We try to stick with businesses that are local. We wouldn't, except certain businesses may have other franchises in other cities, but they've identified themselves with Buffalo and have sort of worked their way into the local fabric in such a way that we feel that we could choose them.
Do you hear from, let's say, restaurants, since you have so many categories in the eating sector, do you hear from restaurants who believe, hey, what are you talking about? We have the best beef on whack.
Well, yes, we do. But, sometimes, but they're pretty good-natured about it. What they do that's much smarter than that is, rather than after the fact complain about something that they didn't get, before the fact they post on Facebook and they tweet out or they send emails to their list saying, vote for us. Go to the Buffalo Spree Best of poll and vote for us. And they do it for Art Voice, too.
Yeah. Are you getting ready for next year, or do you put some time and worry about next year in January?
Once it's over, I'd like to sort of not think about it for a while until, but I do get suggestions from our panelists about what categories we should leave out, what categories we should put in instead, and also I ask for suggestions from our staff and writers about categories that we should put in for the next time. It's fun. I think it's a great way for people to get an introduction to the Buffalo area. Someone who, may be visiting for the summer, this would be a good resource for them.
Well, let's move on to another big part of the July issue. You focus on food trucks, and it's hard to believe, but just 5 years ago, we weren't even having this discussion.
It's crazy, and look how many there are.
Yeah.
I think the same thing is happening with breweries right now, and it's for the same reason, Mark, because with the food trucks, the laws changed. They wrote a law that would allow the food trucks to operate within certain limitations, and some food trucks feel that those limitations are too severe. And that's happening. That happened in Buffalo, and that's playing out in the suburban communities. But it's making it possible for food trucks to operate. So that's why it's all of a sudden we have over 20 food trucks. We tried to write about every single one, but I think there's one or two who didn't respond, we weren't able to get a hold of them, that we left out. We tried to be as complete as we could.
Is Lloyd the taco truck the granddaddy of them all?
Yes, they absolutely are. I don't know that they're the very first food truck. They might be among the first two food trucks.
All right. I always thought they were the first.
I think they... Okay. There's two or three that very close together. Okay. Very close together.
And who are the others, if I may ask, or are you can't answer that?
Well, I can answer it because I one of the ones that was also very early was, I think, the Whole Hog was a very early food truck. Mm-hmm. And another one is, I think, R&R BBQ was very early. And the Roaming Buffalo, very early food truck. So there's like three or four that came, just sort of burst on the scene at the same time. But Lloyd became the spokes truck.
Yeah.
So they were the ones that you would see, and they're very intelligent and articulate, and they were the ones that would come to the Common Council hearings and speak up for all the food trucks, and they're the ones that we have to give credit to for making it possible for us to have as many as we have.
It seems that whatever cuisine you like, there is now a food truck for it.
There's a truck for it. There's a pizza truck that looks pretty awesome. I have to say, reading some of these descriptions, I wanted to go and eat from some of these trucks. I've tried a lot of them. The Black Market food truck is very good. Betty Krotsky is unbelievable. Have you ever had pierogies from Betty Krotsky?
Not yet.
Well, you think you know what pierogies taste like, but you really don't until you've had theirs. The filling doesn't have any of the blandness that is associated with many pierogies. Not all, because we have a lot of great pierogi makers in Buffalo. I couldn't believe it. I tried it at the Hallwalls Artists and Models event for the first time. Amazing stuff.
How do the food trucks handle large crowds? Because if they come to your office, you can get served pretty fast. But I've seen some lines at big events where there are trucks.
There's lines. Just like
deal.
Go to Ted's Hot Dogs and, you know, on a busy day, there's going to be a line. You know, I mean, it's businesses get busy and you have a line. I think that one of the ways they handle it is they have these big events where they have the food truck rodeo that takes place at the History Museum. And then, of course, Food Truck Tuesdays at Larkin Square. That's really the best way to try as many trucks as possible.
Yeah. And they're able to handle the crowd. I haven't gotten down there yet because I've been working nights since March. But I do want to get down there, though I did read someone who complained on Facebook. She went down to the Tuesday night event at the Larkin and the lines were so long.
It's a mob scene.
Yeah.
A mob scene. I think...
They went somewhere else to eat.
Yes. Well, Larkin Square is very popular. I think if you have something at Canal Side or Larkin Square and now Silo City, it's going to be a mob scene. These are three very, very important, very popular places.
Yeah. Established restaurants were fearful of the competition that the trucks would create, but that debate seems to have quieted down, and both seem to be coexisting. I haven't seen any restaurants go out of business saying
just like all the restaurants that went out of business when they took away smoking. Yeah. And all the bars that went out of business because of that. That happened, right, Mark?
Yep, that's right. That's right. Elizabeth Licata, thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Mark. It was fun.
Elizabeth Licata, editor of Buffalo Spree. Mark Scott, WBFO News.